coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
Should we start over? We can't start over. This is the Hagman Report, where truth can't be silenced. I'm laughing because the off-air conversation, the pre-show conversation is a lot, sometimes a lot funnier. And, oh my goodness. Eric says, yeah, I'm recording this, you know. What should we title that segment? Oh my goodness. Folks, yeah, the Hagman Report. Today is Tuesday, June 15th, 2021, or as I like to say, 1979, given all of the parallels to the failed Carter administration. Carter is no longer, obviously, the least effective modern-day president. Now it's resident Joe Biden, at least in the on a temporary basis. We're going to see about that. I'm beginning to believe, folks, I'm beginning to believe that at the very least, that we're going to see some states agree or attempt. Look, I don't know what the process would be, but there's going to be some level of decertification, I believe this to be, of the especially in Arizona, perhaps Pennsylvania. Folks, the Maricopa County audit, that's kind of, and look, I don't have any inside information. I have some inside rumblings, but I don't have any inside information about this. Now, the rumblings I'm hearing from people who do know what's going on, they're saying, look, it's going to be just buckle your seatbelt. Okay. Now, whatever that means, you could take that as well. We didn't find anything and everything's, you know, boy, buckle your seatbelt because President Trump got whooped. No, I'm not getting that vibe, but okay. There's room. Who knows? But see, a total of 16, I believe 16 states. I read 13, 16, a total of 16 states, I believe have sent groups down to Maricopa County to investigate how they are doing the audit. And this is the audit down there is one of the most transparent and one of the most comprehensive forensic audits ever done. This is not a recount. This is a forensic audit. And I'm telling you right now, you've got a lot of patriots down there that are really doing the job, and I appreciate that. Speaking of Arizona, all right, let's get right into this because this is so important. This is how civil wars start. I'm telling you, this is how civil wars start. Right. This is it. Arizona Attorney General. You got to love this guy. Fired a shot across the bow over Merrick Garland. Now, the Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich wrote an incredible letter to U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland, you know, the corpse, and Deputy Attorney General Lisa Monaco. Oh, where did we hear Lisa Monaco's name before? Oh, wait, let me think. Oh, I know, Spygate. But I digress. Check this out on your screen if you're watching this at home. If you're listening to this on your car or whatever, don't look. You just keep driving. Here's what it says. I'm going to read it or at least read part of it to you because I think this is fabulous. Dear Attorney General Garland, late last week, you made troubling comments about the ongoing efforts in states to ensure election integrity. Your statements displayed an alarming disdain for state sovereignty as defined under the 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution and the election provisions in Articles 1 and 2. All right. And it goes, he continues. In the third paragraph, my office is not amused. I love that. My office is not amused by the Department of Justice posturing and will not tolerate any efforts to undermine or interfere with our state Senate's audit to reassure Arizonians of the accuracy of our elections. We stand ready to defend federalism and state sovereignty against any partisan attacks or federal overreach. I love that. Or federal overreach. Everything is being, Oh, man. Okay, so let me continue here, citing, I believe, let me see here. Okay, the next paragraph, or the fourth paragraph, I believe. It is important to remember that the states created the federal government and not the other way around. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a mic drop sentence right there. America's founders intentionally restrained the federal government's constitutional boundaries to ensure each state could flourish in unique ways. Today, our federal government has largely forgotten the founders' intent, but my office has not. You gotta love that. Folks, you can go to AgmanReport.com for that letter, or the Conservative Treehouse has got a nice write-up about it. But wow, that's saying, hey, we ain't taking it. We know where we stand in things. I love it. All right.
I mean, Conservative Treehouse.
Yes.
You should have that bookmarked.
Yes, I believe, and Sundance does such a great job, and all contributors to that website does a great job in keeping up with really all. I mean, they kept up, and they went down into the granular level of what the left did to President Trump, Spygate and such. All right. So with me right now is, of course, my good friend and colleague, Randy Taylor. And we're going to talk about a number of issues. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Again, before the show, of course, we were talking about our aches and pains and about getting old. You know, it's heck to get old sometimes. But anyway, we were laughing. So it's good to laugh, right? How you doing, Randy?
I am doing fantastic with all my aches and pains.
Yeah, well. Yours is more of a shotgun blast.
That was a very amusing conversation before the show, though.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
It's just, well, you know, we were just trying to warn Eric what to look forward to.
I don't know. I don't think Eric abused his body the way you and I did. Okay.
Well, that's true. Hopefully he's learning something from us.
Man. Yeah.
Let's just say it's a good thing I ate before doing this show.
Good thing he ate before the movie. Come on, man. All right. But, you know, it's good to look with all this heaviness around us. It's kind of fun to.
Before we start,
yeah.
Can we refer to Joe Biden as Joey now?
Joey? Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Marbles? I guess, sure.
Yeah. Joey, Mr. Marbles.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, isn't everybody now thoroughly embarrassed worldwide that Joe Biden's a president? That was embarrassing. I was watching just clips of it with him talking. I don't know if the guy really knows where he's at.
No, I really don't. I think Jill's got to, you know, Jack and Jill went up the hill. No, I think Jill has to tell him.
Something is wrong because especially when it's the impromptu conversations with absolutely no practice and somebody's kind of coming in and listening, he's lost, man. And that is the leader of the most powerful country in the world. When they see something like that, that just paints a big target on us, in my humble opinion.
I agree, and we're going to get into that, but let's show people. Folks, if you haven't watched this, because I was talking to my wife about this yesterday, or this today. Time just kind of – anyway, I said, did you see –
I'm going to start calling you Joey.
Really? Let's see, we understand each other. Okay, so which is a problem.
Sadly.
But we're going to take the show on the road, folks. We're going to be here all week. Make sure you tip your waitresses. All right.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. So, I asked her, I said, have you seen his stuff at the G7? And she said, no, I haven't. I really haven't. I said, why? Have you not watched the news? She said, well, not really, but when I have, it hasn't been on. So let's show our folks, since you brought it up, let's show our folks Mr. Marble's beautiful performance at the G7 so far. You want to run it? Let's run it.
Here's Joey.
To welcome those who have just joined us,
and the President of South Africa,
and the President of
South Africa as I said earlier.
Oh, you did.
I did not. I said you did. So
well, you get an answer twice. So.
I'll go over that again. I'm joined by the
I'm sorry, I'm going to get in trouble with staff. I don't do this the right way. Jennifer Jacob Bloomberg.
How are your meetings going in Cornwall, Mr. President? How are your meetings going here in Cornwall?
Very well.
Come on.
When you're having these conversations with European allies who are very concerned about these sanctions, how do you justify that? And what are your plans?
120 days. Give me a break. Need time. By harassing the full potential of those who are harassing, we're going to have to try to change things. That's the whole idea. We could work together with Russia, for example, in Libya. We should be opening up the passes to be able to go through and provide food assistance and vital assistance to a population that's in real trouble. I think I'm going to try very much hard to. And by the way, there's places where. Shouldn't be starting off and negotiating in public here, but let me say it this way. Russia has engaged in activities which we believe are contrary to international norms, but they have also bitten off some real problems. They're going to have trouble chewing on it. And for example, the rebuilding of Syria, of Libya, they're there. And as long as they're there without the ability to bring about some order in the region, you can't do that very well without providing for the basic economic needs of people. So I'm hopeful that we can find an accommodation that where we can save the lives of people in Libya,
All right, Randy Taylor, and we have to put him on the screen. Okay, we have to do this. See if we can do this. Okay, so here we go. My thumb's up, and I'm gonna elbow bump you. is that a Biden finger puppet?
Joey, stop by. my friend Joey.
You know that smile on his face, that dead looking smile. I love it.
This is about how bright he looked at the G7. How embarrassing could that be? I mean,
are those pajamas?
I want an ice cream cone.
Oh my God.
Give me ice cream.
That's
Grant.
This is what I use to protect my finger from going through the toilet paper. Anyway.
Oh my word.
Anyway, how much more embarrassed could we be? And I was stopping to think about it. I'm new to the show thing. You've been doing it for a lot of years, but you could honestly have briefed me for 3 minutes when I was putting on my tie before I went out on stage, and I'd have done a better job on everything that man talked about. Give me a 3 minute briefing. I mean, this guy has people that stand here and sit with him on the airplane and all and brief him 24 hours a day. And he's still a numbnut. He's still a moron. The guy is unbelievably not there.
You know,
he's not there.
He isn't. And I'm just, here's the thing. Okay. There's two questions I have for you real quick. Number one, even the staunchest leftist who indeed voted for Biden, do you think that they can see this and they don't want to acknowledge it or they can't see it? That's my first question. My second question is, well, answer that one if you don't mind.
Okay. We'll go back to what we firmly believe. generated much of their vote in this. It wasn't that Biden was going to be a great president. It's that they hated Trump so much.
All right. Yep.
And really, when you look at what we're seeing today, I think that kind of explains, other than the election fraud, that explains how this guy got votes. You know, they hated. I mean, come on, this guy sat in his basement for months.
Of course. And when he came out, he was talking to Jeeps and people in circles.
Yeah. and sniffing dogs behind. The only reasonable explanation I can come for him getting any votes was hatred of Trump. That's it.
Yeah.
They hated Trump so bad that they could have put Bozo the Clown up. Well, they did put Bozo the Clown out there. And he got some votes, you know. There's no other explanation for this man's other than election fraud. But there's really no explanation for this guy even being on a ticket. Out of 350 million people in the United States, that's the best we could do.
That and heels up Harris as a running mate. You know, the least liked Democratic candidate, you know.
Yeah. But did you, and as long as we're on the subject of G7, did you look at the group of people in that room, and these are the people running the world?
Yeah.
Basically, they're basically the people that are running the most, the top seven economic countries in the world, which if you're economically rolling, you're running the world.
You know,
economics is strength. I looked at that embarrassment up north too, Trudeau.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, he's just
he's a little twit standing there. And then you look at your European leaders.
By the way, Trudeau, I believe, is a Castro offspring, but I digress. Okay. Yeah, go on.
Yes, he is. No, I absolutely believe that Castro is his father.
I do too.
And I think this was planned decades ago, older than that kid is. But when I look at the G7, I look at the leadership in the world, and we're in trouble.
Yep.
It's not just the U.S. We've said this a million times. The U.S. was the last thing to keep the world from absolutely sliding into the toilet. And what do we have? Joe Biden. We had a chance when Trump was in there, you know, of turning things around. But I look at this Biden thing, and I'm even more confused just because I know that eventually he's going to be leaving office. Surely.
Biden.
Right. We know that. That's a given.
Well, hold on. That was kind of my second question. Let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Because I believe that.
Yeah.
But okay. How? I guess. Okay. So number one is how. Because I don't want to get. I really believe that we're going to see Biden out of office and Kamala Harris out of office because of the voter fraud and the exposure they're in.
Right.
But by what mechanism? Number one. Number two. What's going to happen? What's the United States going to look like when that does happen? Who's going to do it or enforce it? Go on.
Well, that'll be interesting. I know that we're going into uncharted waters with this as they expose the voting fraud, and let's just say that they do come up with all the evidence, and we know the evidence is there. But that the evidence is accepted and that some judges actually make some rulings and that somebody actually goes back and says, you know what, Trump won the election. Then there's going to be, what do we do now? Because that is uncharted water. Uncharted waters. But I say, let's do it. Let's just get it.
Well, hell yeah.
But get it. I know there's going to be fallout. There could be unrest in the country like you wouldn't believe. I don't, honestly. They would be a lot of people upset. But at the same time, look at the ones getting upset. What are they really going to do about it? Other than try and pursue it legally. I mean, what are they going to go into the streets and riot? I really don't see the left pushing it to that extreme. If let's just to say they said that Biden's got to leave office and Trump has to go in. You know, first of all, who's going to say that? Secondly, what you just said, who's going to enforce it? Who would police it? Would it be, and so who decrees it? You know, who says that this is the judgment and who's going to enforce that judgment?
And okay, so
this is why I think judges are hesitant to look at evidence. I'll be honest with you, because they're afraid of the Pandora's box that this would open.
Well, yeah.
Which personally, I'm absolutely think it would be, it's a necessary, it has to be done.
Yes.
And I would be, it would also be a message for future elections and future generations.
But okay.
That even if you cheat, you're going to get caught. And
but,
guess what?
But are they going to get punished? In other words, Raffensperger, Kemp, Ruby Freeman, allegedly. Look, I don't know. And Shay Moss, her daughter, if found to be guilty of election tampering or whatever, is anyone going to pay the price?
But see, there's where we find that the typical method in the past has been a patsy or a fall guy in political circles, right? Let's go back to Reagan, who took the fall for everything going on in South America. North.
Yeah.
So you find there's somebody that agrees to take the hit for the team. When we look at, and a good example of this is when we go back and we look at the FISA mess, the debacle, where paperwork was actually untrue. Statements were untrue and presented to get FISA warrants. And at the end of the day, what happened? Some lawyer got reprimanded, and I don't even know his name. Off the top of my, but see, that's how we do this. That's how they've always done this. There will be a sacrificial lamb in each scenario who will take the hit for the team. They won't go to jail. They might get kicked out of office. They say you're going to lose your pension, whatever. Maybe there'll be a fine. Maybe there'll be 3 months in jail, but then they'll come out. Next thing you know, the people that they helped cheat will be the ones that pull them in and go, okay, you're a stand-up person. You did for the party what you were supposed to do, and then they'll take care of them. That's what they do. That's exactly what they do. The Clintons, oh, turn around. You look at them. They're all part of that fraternity of evil.
Yeah.
And they all look out for each other. So, you know, you could have the person from Arizona be found guilty tomorrow, election fraud, right? Boom, right? Smack dab on the desk, photographs, everything, even a confession. And they're still going to skate.
You know,
which does nothing for down the road, because you want to do it. I think something like this is serious to the extent of right up there with molesting children. Meaning the sentence. No, listen. What I'm saying is the sentences are not stern enough.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes.
In that regard.
Right.
The sentences are not stern enough. I think that anyone that is trafficking children should never see a day in jail. They should be terminated.
With extreme prejudice.
Yes. Absolutely. Without fail. Once it's proven beyond absolute, and I don't mean shady. I don't mean he said, she said. I'm talking shadow, no shadow of doubt. Walked in, busted, boom, boom, gotcha.
Yep.
Terminate him.
Yep.
Because a couple years in jail means nothing. They get out, they do it again. And it isn't like you can rehab a child molester. I don't think you can rehab someone that is this dishonest for these nefarious purposes. I just don't see it. And the sentences, obviously up to date, are not severe at all. There's nothing out there. I mean, let's go back and just look at the impeachment with Trump, all the various things that happened there. People were flat lying. Some of the people that went in there in Congress and that we watched, they were lying.
Right.
Okay. They'll call it embellishment. I call it a bold-faced lie.
Well, okay?
And when you sit here and you say you have these whistleblowers and informers, but you can't give names. And Adam Schiff, I know he didn't raise his hand and swear, but I think anytime you're talking on the floor of Congress, you should be considered under oath.
I agree.
That's what I believe, because, I mean, come on, that's a sacred place of legislation. That's supposed to be the spot, you know? And Schiff lied the whole time.
Yep.
No accountability whatsoever. All his, even the lies that he got caught in, there's no accountability. Schiff will never be punished for those. In fact, the impeachment is a thing of the past now.
Well, it depends on who you now. I've been looking at the message boards from the left and forums and such, and it's always the former disgraced, you know, impeached, yes. Twice yeah. impeached, yeah. you know, former president. Yeah. So, okay, but here, okay, so here, I agree with what you're saying.
It's a shame. It's like you said that it's a shame. Nobody's really going to be held accountable.
Right. Because, okay, so you've got, okay, the list is voluminous. It's huge. Because you've got everyone from Mark Zuckerberg and his foundation contributing money to different states. You've got the people in the states at the state, whether it's Secretary of State or Governor, or even down to the precinct level, okay, taking the money and appropriating the money to illegal drop boxes. Then you've got the governors in Pennsylvania, in I think Virginia. I'm trying to think of other states, but changing the rules of the election by way of the Secretary of State in Georgia, Raffensperger, along with Kemp, the governor. And a lot of these are on the Chinese payroll. Then you got the smaller, lesser of the people, the poll counters, the election workers in Georgia, right on camera. So okay, so
and they still cry about Russian collusion when it's Chinese collusion.
Well, okay, yeah, I think in the larger sense, I think at the governorship. And remember what Pompeo said about the people, the governors on the Chinese list of, hey, these are people that we've got. And Pompeo looked at him and says, we know your names. They know your names. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the pucker factor in that room, when Pompeo said that to the governors, I think it's pretty high. And so, in fact, I have the memo. I got to show you this. I've got the memo. It's in Chinese that Pompeo was referring to. Somebody in your industry gave it to me. So I think it might even be. I think it might even be open source by now. But anyway, so yeah. All right, but here's the thing. Let's go back to what you said. There's no mechanism. Who's gonna enforce the transition? Some say. I'm gonna ask you this. Some say Biden's not really in power.
Mm-hmm. Well, is he? For all intents and purposes, yes.
But I mean, did Trump and others are saying, well, you know, Trump never conceded. I get that.
That's immaterial.
I believe that is immaterial because, it's kind of like saying, well, he never pled guilty.
Okay. Well, it's that. And it's like when they said, well, Air Force One is still in Florida. It doesn't mean anything. Okay. The guy's president. What's coming? Who knows? I'm not going to go with the plan. Okay. This has to happen.
I just got that.
Okay. I know. This has got to. Here's the sad part. We can't rely on the Justice Department or the FBI. And those are the two that I would lean to here for the enforcement end of it. From the decision end of it, I would look at from the Supreme Court and the Justice Department. But we're not. They've turned into political arms of their parties. And we just can't depend on them anymore. Unbelievable. It became very, very obvious during the Obama administration with Lynch and with Eric Holder that the Justice Department became politicized. Far, far more than even with Bush, in my opinion. Because Holder I'm his wingman. you know, and Lynch out on the tarmac. And I just, you know, I understand the Justice Department under Bush. Yeah, there were a lot of sweeping changes. Most of them were for national security.
Well, but, that was a pretext. Yeah. Yeah.
But being a personal bootlicker of the president really didn't occur until the Obama administration.
Okay. I could take it back to Nixon, Meese, you know, and if you watch some of the Johnny Carson reruns from that time period of, well, I won't get into that, but you get the idea where, you know, there's been a level of politics that played a role in the DOJ for a long time, but never to the extent, as you said.
Yeah. It's just, they're blatant about
right.
it.
Right.
I mean, we all know that Hoover ran DC.
Yeah.
J. Edgar Hoover ran DC from his office. We know that. But it just became really blatant under, and it was pretty blatant under Clinton with the female. What was her name? DOJ.
Oh,
Waco, the Waco girl.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one in the Miami Dade shopping mall parking lot, Janet Reno.
Yeah, Reno. Yeah. You know, it's they make no bones about saying that the Justice Department's on my side. And if you have any problems with the president, then he picks up the phone. Justice Department saying, you know, you're getting hit with charges for, you know, Lord knows what.
Yeah.
And it came from the White House. I mean, what are you going to do? And this is where we're at now is the FBI and DOJ are Biden tools.
Well, one thing I'm very concerned with about the FBI and especially the Department of Justice is we've got roughly 450 American patriots. And I've been getting emails from people saying, please talk about this. You have approximately 450 patriots from January 1st of this year, the Capitol incident. It wasn't an insurrection. So you got 450 people in a D.C. jail. Oh, and the other thing is, I don't know whether you heard this. Let's see some of my notes here. I wasn't planning on talking about this, except to say that there are people reporting that because of did you hear about this? Because of Levin's addressing this issue, they're being mistreated even more. These prisoners. Did you hear about this?
Because of Levin,
Mark Levin.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, he did a piece about the political prisoners, and they are political prisoners.
They are.
Okay.
They are.
They're on lockdown now, and they're essentially it's
what I'm most what I was most impressed with, Doug, was the outpouring of the Hollywood stars out of their personal pocketbooks to put up the money for legal defenses for our patriots. You know, and the fundraisers, and I just
isn't that something?
It warmed my heart.
Yeah, never happened, folks. Never happened. You know, yeah, 120 days, man, 120 days.
But if they were Antifa or BLM,
there you go.
They'd be writing their bail checks. And this is where we're at in this country.
This is very, very disturbing how the Department of Justice is actually, and now, okay, and look, I never, like you, okay, forget about Q. That Q thing. Okay. Yeah. All right. But one thing that's a problem that I have a problem with is the Department of Justice now. Anyone who, adheres to, or follows, I should say here, follows the Q movement, the Q non-supporters will be labeled domestic extremists along with the so-called white supremacists. So in other words, the FBI is forming this politically strategic narrative, right? Okay.
Yep.
That's going to benefit the left. And,
yes. And they're backing it up by pumping the same philosophy into our military.
Right.
There's a scary aspect to that. And we've talked about that too.
Man.
That's the only way they could possibly get somebody in the military to turn on their own citizens is they would have to use the racial thing. Well, because that's the one thing that even politically, a soldier might look at someone and go, okay, so he's got a different political view. Okay, I'm not going to shoot him over that. I'm not going to go kick his door in. But he's a white supremacist racist that wants to kill black babies. I'll take him out today. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
They had to get something that would stimulate and feed what they're trying to pump into the military. And there's reports coming out of the military from the ranks that this is what's being done. That should concern everyone.
Mm, you're right.
Okay. And I really got concerned when we put a black Secretary of Defense in.
You know, Lloyd Austin. Yeah.
In the midst of this.
Exactly.
And, now, don't think for one second. I thought Colin Powell was the cat's meow at one point. Believe me, he was. No.
Yeah, I know.
We find out about their garbage later, but, you know, when it's. You're a lot like me. When it comes to heads up, we've got to all put our shoulder to shoulder and face the enemy. We know that there's problems sometimes with the people next to us, but bottom line is they're Americans and we're all together.
Right.
We don't find out about this stuff off until later. And this guy is no Colin Powell. Okay. He is pushing an agenda. And that agenda is what's going on right now. And they're trying to do this all over the world, is an anti-white agenda. This cancel culture, tearing down statues,
yep.
Burning the Confederate flags, making people feel bad for being the color they are. This is so insane, but this is exactly how Russia fell back in 1917. It started with this crap. Okay. And I don't. And the U.S. isn't the only place this is happening, guys. You know, I have family in Canada. Up there, it's actually more advanced against the white people. Okay? Some guy last weekend from the news link that I saw, apparently, not over the weekend, maybe tail end of last week, in Ontario, ran over 4 Muslims. Okay.
Wait a second. Ran over 4 Muslims?
Yeah, with his car.
Yeah, I figured. Okay.
Yeah, it was a small car. Anyway.
I just got that. Yeah. All right.
Bad joke. Shame on me. Anyway, he's now being labeled a terrorist, and he will be brought up on terrorism charges. Now, I'll tell you right now, black people kill white people. Muslims kill white people. Muslims kill Indians kill Muslims. It's back and forth, okay? And it's just like when we see right down here where we're at, you could have 3 black kids beat up a white kid on a school bus. It's just a fight on a school bus. You let 3 white kids beat up a black kid on a school bus, it's a hate crime.
All right.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
No. Okay. I'm almost waiting for the punchline.
That was the punchline.
Yeah, I know.
It's white people bad.
Yeah.
White people bad. This is part, and this is part and parcel with the entire thing of this mass immigration, knocking down the borders, killing nationalism. This is all part of it. This is all global cabal work.
Okay, now hold that thought for a second, because I totally agree with you on this. Now, June 12th, 3 days ago, I don't know what day, whatever day, June 12th of, when the hell was that? Did I just say that out loud? Okay, June 12th. June 12th of 2016. It's that moment that we were talking about before the show. All right.
Spit it out, Joey.
Hey, 120 days. What do you want? Wait. Okay. So
you're starting to sound like me.
All right.
Can I have sprinkles on my cone?
I told my wife, and I'm serious. I'm not to that point yet, but when I do get to that point, you tell me that we're going to go off for ice cream. You put me in the car. You make sure somebody's behind me with a baseball bat, okay? And, you know, as I'm smiling there going, yeah, we're going for ice cream, just bing, upside the head.
Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Maybe. All right. Okay, but gosh. It's like a party when you're here. So June 12th of 2016, Omar Mateen, 29 years old, he killed 49 people at the Pulse nightclub. Quick. What was the motive? What was the motive? Quick. Here's the mic.
I don't remember. Homosexuality. I don't know. But
whoa, we have a winner. You're going to have everyone saying, hey, the guy was anti-LGBTQRSP, right? But guess what? He admitted to the motive was he was paying back for the Syria, our foreign policy in Syria. That's what he said. That it was his reason for doing it.
Yep.
But you won't hear that. You didn't hear that on the 12th or on the 13th or yesterday. No.
No.
Oh, it was anti-LGBTQRSPL, whatever. So there you go.
Yeah, it's whatever they want. It's really whatever they want to slap on it. They could be identical crimes. The skin colors are different. I mean, right down to the count of the people. And it is anti-white.
It is.
We have a real problem. We have a real problem with it. This is happening all over the world. Okay. And a lot of this is because they want to, if you look at that UN global agenda for 2030, and they try and tie climate change into it and all that, but they want these mass amounts of people, each country, westernized like a G7 country, to bring in a minimum of 200,000 immigrants from a third world country. So they're trying to bring everybody in. And folks, pay attention, all right? You're seeing it in your commercials. You're seeing it in your commercials. Let's just start there.
Yep.
The commercials that you were watching a year ago were the commercials we've always watched and all that. Now, every commercial that I get in my house, and I don't care what channel it is, what country it's streaming in from, it doesn't matter. Somebody on my screen is gay. The marriage is interracial. Or mom's a lesbian, or there's two dads. Tell me I'm wrong.
No.
I'm looking at my television and I'm watching these commercials, and I actually said, don't white people eat Oreos too? Because if you watch the commercials, you got to be in hip hop, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm not, if you can't see the all out assault.
Well, this is a decline. This is our decline.
Yeah. And I'm not a racist. People, you call me a racist, I swear I'll meet in a parking lot somewhere and slap it right out of you. Okay.
I agree.
Because I am not. What I am upset about is that people actually are out here pumping information, false information, are pumping a false narrative where I should feel bad for something that happened 200 or 300 years ago, 150 years ago, whatever.
Yep.
Let me tell you right now, and I want to make this perfectly clear, and I will give you my word on this today. I'll put my hand on the Bible. I don't own any black people. I don't have any slaves. In fact, I can safely say that nobody in my family has ever had a slave. And you can go back all the generations. We didn't. We're from Scotland. We didn't even arrive in the U.S. until the 1920s.
So you're a carpet beggar here in the U.S.
You got it, buddy. My family comes from legal immigrants that came in through New York back in the 20s. Okay. the thing is, when you talk about reparations and just all the asinine things I'm hearing today, all you're doing, that racial divide just keeps getting farther and farther and farther. Every time you say that you want a right or wrong, it goes further and further and further.
You see, and that's by design, though.
I know. And it's exactly by design. And that's part of, they want one population. And pretty soon, if they had their way, we would all be just a mix of brown and white, and there would really be no white people and no black people. We'd all kind of be this beige. I mean, that's really, that's stupid as that sounds.
No.
But that's what they're doing. And you can argue with me about it, but let's look at the UN mandates. Let's look at the immigration mandates. Let's look at climate change. You know, they talk about climate change. How does climate change and immigration tie together, except that you want to maybe take people out of third world, maybe where it's hotter than usual, desert type countries, and then bring them in? Okay. Then I could see you saying, well, okay, maybe they'll survive longer in a better atmosphere, a better environment. I don't know. All I know is this. They're breaking down nationalism. We've been doing it for a long time. We did it with the Arab Spring. It isn't about installing democracy. It's about installing the cabal.
Yep.
And their plan in every country. And the people that wanted to, that would fight it the most, that would have put up the most resistance to a one world government, were basically assassinated. Okay. We all know that Saddam Hussein kind of fancied himself, you know, the ruler of Persia.
That's right.
You know, we know that.
Yep.
And Libya, Muammar Gaddafi.
Yep.
Hardcore. He wouldn't. These people would only accept a one world government if it was a caliphate, a Muslim caliphate. Obviously, that wasn't going to happen. So what's the next best thing? The global colossus. We can't convert them. We're going to kill them.
Yep.
That's basically what they did. And look at the chaos and the murder and the mayhem that ensued from those decisions.
Yep.
Okay. First of all, 9/11's in question. A lot of people died there. Well, let's just skip right on past that and go right into the Iraq war, where we invaded another sovereign country as part of the global cabal and pushing their agenda. Okay. How many of our soldiers did we bury? Not just U.S. soldiers, all from all over. Okay. In our coalition. And it hasn't stopped there. It's going to continue. Let's look at Libya and what happened there. Okay. And let's look at the people of Libya.
Okay. Yes,
They're human. They're human beings. Look at Syria and what's going on there. They thought they were going to clip off. Okay. Hussein, we got him. Gaddafi, we got him. Mubarak. You know, they're knocking these guys off one by one.
Yep.
All right. Knocking them out of power. And then they thought they'd go after Assad. And that's pretty much when Russia put their foot down. So they can call Putin a bad guy. I tell you what Putin's bad for. He's bad for the global cabal.
And speaking of Putin, I want to just touch on this. Did you see at the G7 where Putin, well, not at the G7, but concurrent with, Putin accuses the United States government of politically imprisoning their dissidents, meaning the 450 Capitol protesters, and assassinating Ashley Babbitt, and he demanded to know who ordered her killing. Did you see that? That was incredible.
I didn't see it. I heard about it, and it's funny on the Ashley Babbitt thing because this has been brought up more than once.
Yep. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Okay, Ashley Babbitt was either walked into a killing or it was staged. Something, there's things about that that will never make sense.
Explain stage. When you say staged, I think it's important for people to understand what you mean by staged, because what they interpret
when I say,
is,
when I say, I call it a false flag.
Okay.
When I use the word staged, and I can watch any Hollywood movie and see an Ashley Babbitt killing. Okay, they know how to do it. Mm-hmm. The other thing I had a problem with, and this is what stuck me, after 9/11, is when they go and initially interview somebody. When they interviewed Ashley Babbitt's husband, he sounded no worse than if he had misplaced his coffee cup in the car when they talked to him.
Okay.
It bothered me. And you can say, well, he was in shock and all that. Hey, catch me a half hour after you killed my wife.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, I would want to catch you after.
I understand, you know, people are in shock. I get that. But anything we've heard from that man is nothing. The other thing, when was her funeral? Can anybody produce a funeral date and where it occurred, the funeral? I have never. And I can usually find anything I want to find.
Are you sure about this? I mean, I'm asking legitimately. Are you sure about this?
Yeah. I don't. There was never a formal announcement of her funeral. She should, with everything that happened and the purpose that her death served, she should have been far bigger than the black guy that got knelt on his back and died.
Oh, yeah.
George Floyd. They should have been carting her around in a white hearse and horses and American flags and the whole nine yards.
True.
Think about it. You think Floyd was killed? Oh, come on. If this girl really was slaughtered, like they say, what happened?
Yeah. Well,
where did she go? Where's she buried, Doug?
I don't know. I haven't followed this to that level. So
it's never been put out there.
Okay.
See, and I have a problem with that. I have a really big problem with that, because if indeed she was killed, okay, then someone needs to be brought up on charges, because the young lady didn't do anything from what I saw. Okay. Pushing through a window is not grounds to kill somebody.
Right. I agree with that. The whole thing stunk
to high heaven on that. It really did, Doug. The whole nine years, and they know who shot her if the shooting actually occurred. Let's say, now she was ex-Air Force.
Okay, and let's stipulate for this purpose of this conversation, henceforth, I mean, that she was killed, okay? Now, I'm not saying that she was, I'm just saying...
We don't know. See, that's we don't really know. That we are finding out piece by piece by piece that so many things on the 6th were staged.
Right, exactly.
When they opened the gates and they let the people in, and then they turn around and say, well, they pushed past the police. A police picking up a barricade and moving it and going like this doesn't exactly look like forced entry to me. Okay? That's like me standing at my front door at 2 a.m, opening my door up, yelling at some guy walking down the street and going, hey, why don't you come in and get my TV? And then trying to tell the cops you came in and robbed me. Good luck with that. I don't necessarily buy the Ashley Babbitt story, Doug, because it's missing pieces. There's just pieces missing. There's pieces that, I mean, come on. We know more about the George Floyd death. We got that on video. We know where he's buried. We probably know what kind of cologne they put on for the funeral. I mean, we don't, but the Ashley Babbitt, she's a mystery. She really is. She's a Lee Harvey Oswald.
She's a
mystery.
But okay, if stipulating or considering that perhaps she was shot and killed, who did it? We don't know, but we should know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because it's like any officer involved shooting. You know the name of the cop like 10 minutes before, you know, everyone else. I mean, it's all over the media. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Why the big secret behind who shot her?
Right. It goes along with the other lies that we were told about the 6th and police officers dying. My thing is, now I've done personal protection before. I've pulled security details before. Somebody pushing in through a window in a gigantic building like that, in which is technically a public building, does not give me the authority to shoot them. I don't have the authority.
All right.
She was unarmed. If she came in brandishing a weapon, or let's say that there was a senator right there and she managed to get her hand. Now we're talking about something different, but even then, you would physically try and restrain the person. That's just the rules of engagement. What I saw that day was either staged or murder, one of the two.
Yeah, I agree 100% with the way you just said that.
Yeah, staged or murdered. And I say staged because as I looked at her, I saw the video where she was laying on the floor and all that and bleeding. You know what? Doug, I've seen that. better things in movies.
Yeah, that's true.
I can make, with the kind of dollars that are behind what happened on that day, with the kind of power and influence that were behind, we know that Pelosi and a bunch of people encouraged what happened. Somebody told the Capitol Police, open the gates. Let's make this look like a riot. And you know, it's funny how the news clips catch everything, CNN and everybody, but they just didn't have very many news clips of police officers opening barricades and waving people in.
Yeah,
because it didn't fit the narrative. Okay, once again, on a national scale, we were lied to.
100%.
And that, because of, look, if everything around that day had been by the book and I had explanations and I believed it, then you could tell me that Ashley Babbitt, how it played out. I have questions. No. I have serious questions. Most people do. And we're not getting answers.
Well, and hence Putin's statement. I think Putin is poking the globalist bear with that comment or that question, pseudo question. He's poking the globalist bear. And, you know, Trump and Putin are a lot alike in terms of disposition, or I would say disposition, period. And I'm not going to – but, yeah, they're a lot alike in that fashion. And I have to say – well, before I go any further, folks, Randy Taylor, of course, is with me. You're listening to the Hagmann Report right here on the Global Star Radio Network, top of the hour. As we speak here on this, the 15th day of June 2015, what a beautiful day it is here in the Northeast, or Middle Atlantic Northeast, shall I say. Folks, let me come to you on this. Where is this? Where do I have this? Eric the Tech. My goodness. Hang on, my friend. I'll get back to you here in 1 second. Oh, here it is, right here. I want to thank you. I want to thank everyone for really pushing the my new book, In the Dark of Night, really up there in the ratings on Amazon. Available in both paperback and Kindle. Thank you so very much for that. And also, if you've read it, I ask that you stop by and just leave a rating, an honest rating, or an honest review, or both. And you know what? It's doing pretty good. It's holding at a 4.9 rating, and that's pretty good, I think. And I appreciate those people who have purchased it. It gives you kind of an insight, kind of a backdoor insight into the investigation of, it's a murder investigation, but it's more than that. It's much more than that. So I want to thank you folks for your interest in that, but it gives you some background into what Craig Sawyer does and what Russ Dizdar does. And what I did, this is based on an actual story, actual murder in 1987, and inspired by true events. It's In the Dark of Night, Blood of the Innocent. It's available at Amazon.com or .ca. Actually, it's sold in eight countries. It's available worldwide, I believe. And, so you can order it there, ordered at HagmannStore.com. That's HagmannStore.com if you want a signed copy. And then don't forget, folks, Father's Day is coming up. All right, before I get back to Randy Taylor, I also want to mention this. You know, we all shop online. I'm pretty sure everyone does. And we've seen that promo code field. You know, that little promo. We're prompted for promo codes quite frequently. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Now, Honey supports over 30,000 online stores. And they range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. That's right, even food delivery. Now, here's how it works, just briefly. Imagine that you're shopping right now for one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click apply coupons. And you wait for a few seconds as Honey searches for coupons it can find for that site. And if Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. And I'm telling you, this works so well. My wife uses this, and Eric the Tech uses this. We use it here at the studio, and we purchased, and I've said this before, but I just want to reiterate this. We purchased some equipment. You know, I don't think the latest equipment purchase we had to buy, it's not really a specialized piece of equipment, but an expensive piece of equipment. relative to commercial or consumer products. And we saved almost $48.50 on one item. Now, that represented a lot of money. I mean, almost $50. Folks, think what you can do with an extra $50 in your pocket. So, again, $48 and change. Now, Honey has found over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. Now, here's what you need to do to take advantage of this fantastic offer. And they've worked this out with the Hageman Report, and I'm so glad they did. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. So it's free. It installs in just a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a very good, big favor, a solid, and supporting this podcast as well. I'd never recommend something I don't use myself, and I use this. So there you go. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/Hageman. Joinhoney.com/Hageman. And that is joinhoney.com/Hageman. That's joinhoney.com/Hageman. Remember, two N's on Hageman. And it's on our, it's linked off of our front page at HagemanReport.com, as all of our sponsors are. So, joinhoney.com/Hageman. And I'm going to thank you for supporting us and supporting this broadcast. All right, Randy Taylor, thank you for holding with me over the hour. What's that? Oh, Randy Taylor, actually, Eric the Tech dropped on Randy Taylor. Is he hurt? All right. Say what? We're over?
We're cutting in the stands segment.
Stan is not going to be on today.
Oh, he's not coming on today?
No, didn't I tell you that?
No. I'll get Randy back.
Folks, I forgot to tell you this at the beginning. This is how crazy today has been. I forgot to tell you this. Stan had some scheduling, some issues, and he asked for if he could not, or if he could take the day off. And I said, absolutely. So I apologize in advance if you're waiting for Stan. Oh, I'm so sorry. And I apologize to Randy Taylor, too, for Eric dropping him. I got confused. I thought I told you. I apologize. Oh. All right. So while we're folks, I'm sorry. Sorry. What can I tell you? You know, it's just one of those things. Anyway, I'm not going to belabor that, my incompetence there. I'm not just not going to do it. So, all right. I should add this. If you haven't seen the Extinction Protocols conference, if you haven't seen that, man, you can still order the video on demand, which actually is the archive video for this conference. And I'll tell you something. It was just a fantastic conference. I watched it in real time from Lisa Haven and Pastor Paul Begley to Dave Hodges to, just everyone, Gary Haven, everyone. Daniel Holdings, what a tremendous job they all did. So go to gen6.com. That's gen6.com. And click on the program link. Also, I forgot to mention this. I better do this now. We are not going to have a program tomorrow or Thursday, the normal program. Why? You might ask. Why? Again, some field work, and I'm just going to delete, put a period right there. I'm not going to say another word. We just, you know what, folks? We're an investigative agency, okay? So we go out and we do investigations related to what we talk about, and whether it's SRA victims, whether it's trafficking victims. Let me know when you have them back. So I don't, you have them back? Yeah. All right. So that's why. And, so we're going to be in the field. My apologies to Randy Taylor. I forgot to tell Eric something. He did not. I apologize. Randy, you there?
That's all right. That's all right.
Do you feel left or, slighted? I forgot
no.
to tell.
That's quite all right.
Yeah.
I just wonder where you went. I said, oh, go.
All right. I'm just going to go to dinner now. Doggone it. Yeah. My apologies. All right.
That was lunch break.
Oh, my goodness. Let's, are you okay now, Eric? Are we rebalanced on everything? We can kind of go back to the show notes.
Yes, Joey.
Mr. Marbles. Joey. Yep.
Sprinkles.
Rainbow sprinkles.
Come on, man.
What is it? What is it? The commercial sprinkles are for winners.
You know, that just hurts my head. It really does. All right. Okay, a couple of things. If we can, I'd like to move right into this video. You know, you mentioned you have family in Canada. In the western part of Canada, of course, Arthur Pulaski, the pastor.
Yep.
Okay. How, I didn't know the backstory behind this, but he, they had surveillance and they were hassling him for months upon months upon months. And he really came a, I'm telling you, that poor guy, but he mm-hmm. issued a good warning here. And he was on with Steve Bannon. And, I don't know how many people have seen this, but do you mind? Let's play this because if you're not scared yet, you're not paying attention. And this is a message to the entire West. Can we play it?
And
is
if you right? think, yeah, and Christianity under attack.
Yes. Yes. This whole thing is wrapped up in a, it's a big agenda. So here's Arthur Pulaski, the minister from Canada, the pastor from Canada, on with Steve Bannon. Go ahead.
Okay, I want to come back with another warrior of God, and also been just an incredible example to everybody about how not to back down and risking everything, risking fines and jail and all of it. You made a comment that I want to get to, because we pride ourselves, you know, the book Chaos Under Heaven by the Washington Post's great Josh Rogan, they said, hey, Bannon leads this group that you got the people want to confront him, the people want to accommodate him, and then you got this group called the super hawks that want to destroy the Chinese Communist Party root and branch because we consider it a transnational criminal organization and not a legitimate government. And they have terrorized and oppressed the great civilization of China and specifically the Chinese people for decades and decades and decades. In fact, their 100th anniversary is coming up on July 1st. You made a comment that you said that what you're seeing in Canada, and I take it the United States, you believe as a Polish citizen is worse or as bad as the communist takeover of Poland. That's, from people in the United States, it's pretty shocking. Can you back that up?
I would say it's not similar. It's worse. I mean, it's totally worse. I grew up behind the Iron Curtain, and I'm telling you, it was on a local scale. Right now, it's on a global scale. The communist Chinese government is buying everything left and right. I mean, half of Africa belongs to them. Half of Canada belongs to them. And I bet half of America now belongs to them as well. I have never seen a bigger takeover of one nation or one ideology than right now. And I grew up under censorship. I grew up under deplatforming. I grew up seeing police beating people up, arresting them for no reason. We have entered that era here, but unfortunately on a global scale. It's not just a local. It's not just a Europe. It's everywhere. I mean, everywhere. And that's a scary thing. It should be scary for you. Because if you think, you know, Americans are, they're proud themselves of having a constitution. Poland was the second country on earth that had a constitution right behind the United States of America. We had a constitution from the very beginning to the very end, and who cared about it? It was a piece of paper that no one cared about. You could be arrested and you would cry out and say, I have my rights. No one cared. Communists, you see, this is what people do not understand. Communists do not care about your human rights. They do not care about your constitution. They are tyrants. The only thing they care about is to enslave you. Depopulation, that's one thing to control. But also, I've never seen a bigger attack on a small and medium-sized businesses. Why do you think this is happening? Because they're eliminating the middle class. Why the middle class? Because the middle class is highly educated, well-traveled. We've seen places. We've been places. You can't fool us around. We've studied. We have money to hire a lawyer if you take us off. So they're eliminating this because they want only two categories of people. I grew up in a country like this. You had 50,000 communists ruling over 36 million Poles. Two categories of people. Elites, right? The masters and then the slaves. If you had too much money, you needed to be eliminated. Your business needed to be destroyed because you could afford to fight them. They cannot afford anyone that can afford to fight them. That's why they're so hard on you. They're so hard on anyone that is willing to stand up. I got 300 tickets, dozen arrests. I got 29 COVID tickets. Why do you think? Am I a scary guy? I've never been charged with assault. I'm not a violent man. I'm a pastor. I save lives. Why do you think they're cracking on me so much? Because I open my mouth. I'm not terrified. I've seen it before, that movie.
Now I'm telling you, it's not good.
Real quickly, by the way, you make a good point. We say this all the time. In China, 90 million members of the Chinese Communist Party, of 1.4 billion people, and only a couple thousand make decisions, and only a couple of hundred skim everything off the top. They're criminal organizations. That's what they are. Real quickly, your family's history. You've got a long history in this. You've seen this as your family, in your DNA, you know what this means. Walk us through that.
Yes, my grandfather escaped Siberia. You know, out of all the places, I'm sure.
How does a Pole end up in Siberia?
Opposing the government. That's it. Just for, and not only that, let's say you didn't oppose the government, but you were the middle class. So if you're a professor, a teacher, or officer, then you had to be eliminated. Stalinism, Trotskyism, Marxism, whatever you want to add, all of those people were eliminating anyone that was smart enough to oppose them. The only thing they wanted to left, alone or leave alone, it was the slave class. So workers, farmers, someone that were not educated, and they didn't.
Are people that are passive also? People that just accept it.
That's right. So my grandfather was taken to Siberia. He escaped. You see, we have a long tradition in my family of escaping. My grandma was arrested in Russian jail. I was arrested in Russian jail. Okay, I was kept 3 days and I escaped as well. My grandma escaped with my great uncle on a rope from a Russian jail, Poland, and that's how they met, my grandfather and my grandma. So I heard the stories of rapes and Gestapo and Nazism, and then I grew up under the boots of the Soviets, KGB, communists. So I'm not telling you a movie that I did not witness myself. I've seen that Hollywood production, and I'm telling you, it's so scary. If you're not scared yet, then I don't know, you're not paying attention. You're not seeing what's going on. Americans should be scared. What is happening right now? You've lost your election. You're losing your middle class. You're losing your companies to the Chinese. What's next?
You've given a warning to America. Now, we've got a short time of the break. By the way, Beatrix Storch, who won a major election represent the alternative with Deutschland in the Bundestag, was going to be our guest in the next segment. We're going to bump her till tomorrow because we've got to get through the pastor. Real quickly, we've got about a minute to go before we go to break. You've just given America a warning, right? What then is to be done?
You got to rise up. You got to stand up. You see, when Perestroika came, 1981, there was a huge mafia uprising, right? The Russian and the Eastern Bloc was taken over by Russians. The Putin right now, that is the head of the Communist Party over there, he took over the mafia. He shot some of those people and took it. And then there were some villages. There were some villages over there that had 1,000 people, but 2,000 people came and voted during the election. So what I'm saying is you have two choices only. You can submit and become a good puppy, a good chihuahua, and just die, right, good slave, and then they will be the masters. Or you're going to rise up and stand up, because if you don't do it, if you don't want to do it for yourself, then do it for the children and your children's children, because it's going to be ugly.
Okay, short commercial break, and we'll turn back to the pastor.
Of Steve Bannon, the War Room Pandemic. So Randy Taylor, 50,000 communist leaders, 36 million people. That's so.
They need to listen, folks. You need to listen to the man. And here's what's scary. This is happening just north of here. We are. And I'll say this, when I speak collectively of the United States and Canada, it's because I'm technically a citizen of both. Canada is steps ahead of us as far as totally going into the communist toilet. I know that people look up north and they see that smile, little Cuban sperm recipient, whatever, Justin Trudeau. Okay, get past the smile and the pretty hair. He's evil. He is evil personified. Any country that would allow their pastors to be locked up, and this pastor right here is telling you and telling us, and this is the part that gets me. How many people do we need to warn us? How many? These aren't people that read it in a book somewhere. These are people, I mean, when Doug and I talk to you about communism, we're basing what we're telling you off other people's experiences. This is one of those guys. Yeah. He's experienced it. Okay? He touched the stove. It was hot. I don't need to touch it. He told me it was hot. This is what's going on. And the thing is, people are just falling right into it. They're like, okay. Okay. Now, I do agree with what he said, that they want the people that are going to be trouble, they want you eliminated, and the people that are going to be sheep, they want you to live forever. Okay? I absolutely believe that. And that goes into a whole other subject that I'm not prepared to present to you right now. But he's absolutely right. They want the sheep. The sheep are slaves. They have no fight in them. I've never seen a sheep kick a wolf's butt. Never seen it. Never even heard of it.
That's true.
Where does that leave us as a civilization? Stop and think about what this man's telling you. And here's the thing. It's in little bits and pieces. They're not. This is like their own jihad, their own stealth jihad. This is being done without a shot being fired.
Yes.
That's the scariest part. You know why? Because they outthought us. That scares me more than a guy that's smarter than me that's my enemy scares me more than a guy that's my enemy that's shooting at me. Because the guy that thought of that is directing that guy to shoot at me. That guy really scares me, not the shooter. The guy who was able to get him to shoot at me is the one that scares me. And we are in big trouble.
I mentioned this yesterday, and I'll let you continue here, but Victor Davis Hanson wrote a tremendous piece over the weekend talking about this revolution. The revolution of the woke isn't your father's left-wing revolution, comparing the 60s to today. And, you know, he writes that the woke revolutionaries are not panhandlers, street people, or Grateful Dead groupies. They're not even a few They are not even a few nutty and murderous Simonese Liberation Army terrorists fighting against the man. They are the man in this case. Our 21st century revolutionaries are multi-billionaires with flip-flops, tie-dyed t-shirts, and nose rings, but with the absolute power and desire to censor how the country communicates or cancel them entirely. And so it's just an amazing piece, folks. It's in the Daily Signal. It's on yesterday's show prep episode. So you can go there for the link. Victor Davis Hanson, Daily Signal. But yes, you're exactly right, man.
The elites have been enslaving us for centuries.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. The Rockefellers, they've been enslaving. I was looking earlier at something you'd sent me about Zuckerberg.
Yes.
I look at the Gates and I look at the Zuckerbergs, and who gives you the right to do what you've done? To peddle your influence with your money and your libtard way of thinking and enslave, because what they're doing, every time they censor you on Facebook or what's the other ones, Twitter, anything like that, that's a form of communism.
Yeah.
People aren't getting it. They're like, oh, I got censored. No, yeah, you got censored. Yes, you did. You got censored for having a free thought. And see, this is the part that scares me. What's going on right now is people aren't thinking freely.
Well, wait a second. What about conservatives who self-censor for fear of being censored on social media?
I know. And it's like it got like that on Twitter. And I got to the point where you get ready to post it. And you're like, I'm probably gonna get deleted for this, but oh well, you know. And sometimes I do it just to see. And then I'm like, somebody has to be watching this account because I didn't post that even 30 seconds ago. And supposedly a complaint already came in.
Yeah.
How is that even possible? No. You're being watched, you're being shadow banned. Twitter's a toilet. I honestly have it on there just because there's some people I know on Twitter that I like. And that's it. We kind of back and forth. But then if there's a message that I want to get out, a particular article or something like that, or to like promote Doug's book, I'll put things on Twitter for that.
Okay.
But as far as anything constructive, it's not going to come off Twitter. It's not going to come off of Facebook. Folks, those are just electronic book burning gatherings. That's all they are. You post it, they don't like it, they burn it, and you lose followers. And I don't even know why people are playing that game anymore, really. You go on Twitter, you should go on there once or twice a week and call it a day. I honestly, there's nothing there worth dealing with. There's no truth. There's no, and they wipe things off of there just as fast as people put it up. So if it's anything that's conservative, that is of value. Now, I'm not just saying because it's a conservative person that it's gospel, because it shouldn't be. You almost got to go back to the old days, and you should be able to go back to the old days where you make your own decisions. Don't let party lines necessarily make your decisions. Okay, because stop and think about it. We got idiots on both sides of the aisle. Okay? Rhinos. Don't pay attention to them. Folks, you got to do your own thinking. And there's, I think in some cases in the conservative movement, we've got troublemakers in there.
I agree.
You look around, you see them. I see conservatives turn on other conservatives publicly. And I'm like, wow, that's no way to fight a war. You really got to do your own thinking here. It's your life. It's your body. It's your family. It's your church. It's your God. What are you going to do about it? Forget what everybody else is doing. What are you going to do about it? And as you make that decision, that's when you will find like minds.
That's a very, very profound thing to say.
Exactly. Because choose your path and then you'll meet the people on your path. But don't choose your path just because of the people on the path.
Another great thing.
You choose your own path. You will meet, inevitably, God will place people in your life and on your path that you are supposed to be associated with, that he wants you associated with, that will share the same views with you, and will die next to you if they have to.
And I just want to add this. My good friend, very good friend, Steve Quayle, always has said this, and it took me a while to understand this, Randy Taylor, but he said, you know, God will put the people in your life that need to be
yes.
there. But just the same thing, he'll take people out of your life
that don't need to be there.
Right on, right on.
Yep. And here's the comfort in that. God's in your life.
There you go.
There's the comfort in it. You say, wow, I'm so sad that this happened or whatever. Sometimes these things have to happen for the mission to be completed. God has us on a mission. Beware. Like I said, we've got some real thinkers in the globalist regime, the cabal. There's some real thinkers. They're smarter than the average Joe sitting here, and I'm average Joe, okay, average guy. They can manipulate you. They can manipulate you however they want to manipulate you because they already know from millions of case studies what you're going to think next or do next.
Yep.
Beware of that. Always be unpredictable. Okay? One of the cool things when the Rangers first came about back in Revolutionary War times, one of the first things they always taught the Rangers was never use the same path twice. Always be a surprise.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's...
And so think about that, because we become predictable. If we can be predicted, we can be manipulated. And right now, there's a whole lot of manipulation going on. There's been manipulation going on. Not just left versus right, but inside of the right party, there's been manipulation going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things going on that we really just don't see it for what it is. And until we see it and we understand it, we won't understand and we won't realize that we're being manipulated. And that's herein lies the true wisdom is you got to think for yourself.
Yep.
And I'm not, you know, that I don't jump on a pedestal and rah, 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 anything. I don't, except God. And my country and my family. And when I say family, I'm talking about friends and family, people that I love and care about. rah, rah, rah. Outside of that, okay, I don't like what I'm seeing, but I'm seeing the right is being manipulated and the left's being manipulated. Everyone is being manipulated right now. And we're not seeing it for what it is. And we really, that's where we have to really get down and say, you know, is this really what I'm thinking it is? Is this as presented? Don't ever think it's as presented when it comes to the United States government or any world governments. There's always something else going on there. There's a caveat in there. And a lot of what we see every day is a distraction for something else. And what we were talking about earlier, talking about in that pastor with China and all, one thing I do know occurred up in and is occurring right now in Canada, and it's occurring in the United States too. But Canada is buying up companies after Trudeau so conveniently shut them all down here with this COVID crisis. But they're buying up companies, and there's real specific ones: construction, communications, healthcare.
All right. Now, why? Okay, so
construction, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Construction is a very viable market in any country. Okay. But the other thing is, I know one of the companies they tried to buy up in Canada was a company called Aecon. and that kind of got blasted away. But you get companies like Aecon or some large companies like that. Well, they build all the government buildings. Oh, they build
good point.
Yeah, they build the courthouses. If there's going to be a new municipal office or something like that, they build it. Okay. Well, construction, and we all know just from the way embassies are done, you know, where if Russia's building an embassy in the U.S., well, of course the U.S. is going, yeah, we'll help you build it. No problem. We'll supply the people and the materials. Why? So we can outfit the place and so we can listen in for the rest of our lives. As far as communications, that's a given. Anytime you go into a country of an enemy, you try and gain control of the communications. That's the Cold War, Hot War, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Right.
And then healthcare. If you control the healthcare in any country, you control the people. And this is a fact that just gets so lost on the left. They think the government should supply this. The government, it should be free. One, there's no such thing as free, okay? You're going to pay for it somewhere. But as soon as you let the government in, I want you to stop and think, folks, where you're at with your health care today, what the premiums are, what it covers, do you even have health care? Can you afford health care? Then I want you to go back to 15 years ago. And where we were then with healthcare. I was a business owner at that time in the United States.
Pre-Obamacare, shall we say.
Yes. Right. Yes. All yes. Right. And my people had excellent healthcare. It was an HMO, not a PPO. My people, I kid you not. And most of my guys, well, it was mostly guys that worked for me because I was in the construction field. But I was paying roughly on the average about 175 to 195 per man per month. And this was Mac Daddy healthcare. It covered 80% to 100% of most things. And then your prescriptions were all 80% covered. I'm not going to say the name of the company, but it was excellent.
Yeah. I remember you back then. And,
yeah. Okay. And so anyway, I left, I lost the business, in 08. But a couple of my guys decided to stay in that type of business. I turned them on to my customers. There was already a good relationship there. Now today, and especially when Obama came in and started manipulating the healthcare system, suddenly it went from 175 to 195 a month to $1,000 a month for the same health care.
Yep.
Now you tell me how that helped America. and based on just that, there shouldn't be a Democrat in the United States. Just based on that, Because if you people will sit there and say, oh, Obama did good, you need to be punched right in your face because you're too stupid to have a conversation with me. Yep. It just infuriates me. Oh, well, it's for the betterment of everybody, because basically what Obama did, he got into the system, screwed insurance up for everybody, okay, because there were, according to him, 16 million Americans that didn't have health insurance. Okay, 16 million Americans. Here's the number. There's 350 million Americans in the United States. So when you get right down to what 16 million is, that's a pretty small percentage.
And if you're
that concerned about those 16 million, subsidize it. Give them insurance. Instead, what he did is he penalized everybody in the United States. So those 16 million, mostly inner city, could have health insurance. Okay. But the point is, look what he did overall. And they're subsidizing the insurance for, they couldn't afford it before. What makes you think they can afford it now? So it's still subsidized. Why didn't you just subsidize the 16 million to begin with and leave everybody else alone?
Yeah. That would make more sense.
Because you have to have control of the healthcare system in a country to take over the citizenry. That's just one step. That's okay. A fact.
No, let me bump you, okay, because this is a good segue into where we are today. All right.
Okay.
So, okay, you have this plandemic, scamdemic of the SARS-CoV-2 or the coronavirus COVID-19, the Chinese Communist Chinese Party virus. Okay. Now, think about
like
this.
That name.
Which one?
The COVID Communist Party.
Right, yeah, the Chinese Communist Party virus. But it's really COVID 1984, whatever. But you know, you start digging down into this, and you start seeing. But I'll tell you what, Fauci. You start seeing what Fauci did during the AIDS, days of AIDS, vaccines, etc. Well, you start digging down into this, and I credit the National Pulse for a lot of this research. So they needed this control. As you said, the healthcare provides the means for control over the people. So yes. The plandemic also provides the means for control, even in a tighter control, in policing of the people. When you look at this Communist Chinese Party, and this you can put this on the screen if you want, Eric, the tech, but the Communist Chinese Party virus, Fauci, Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, and Zuckerberg's wife, Priscilla Chan, okay, they engaged in, what would you call it? Funding, okay, essentially funding, the University of North Carolina, Ralph Baric's group, the University counts Wuhan lab collaborator and gain-of-function proponent, Dr. Ralph Baric, as the lead researcher. So Zuckerberg, well, his wife anyway, Priscilla Chan, but here's the other part of this too. It was Zuckerberg's foundation that funded the various areas in the various important areas, including Fulton County, Georgia, Chicago, Philadelphia, Montgomery County, Pennsylvania, for ballot boxes. Yeah, that's the one. Zuckerberg and his wife were involved in funding the gain of function practices, as well as the ballot boxes and the changes of our election laws. So this is all connected. But this is a really important article. Zuckerberg group funnels six figures to Wuhan lab partner, gain of function advocate. Folks, I would urge you to read this. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But I'm telling for this episode. But Randy Taylor, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, the funding group behind the unlawful election changes of 2020, gave $500,000 to University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, which ultimately benefited the Wuhan lab for the gain-of-function mm-hmm. research. What the hell? And, of course, if you say anything about it, since Zuckerberg has control over Facebook, you can't say anything about it.
No, that's the thing. It's a captive audience, and they control what the captive audience is going to see, read, digest. And then they turn around, and anybody that reads this, it's like gospel to them.
Right.
Because so, they're too stupid to research it. If you're not, if you just buy what they're telling you, I'm sorry, I'm sitting here calling you stupid. You are. You're just.
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't even give you airtime. You're a moron.
If let's clarify that. So we're not calling the people. Listen to this. The people who.
Well, but the left.
The left.
Because right. Let's look at, and I'll be honest with you, this whole Zuckerberg thing, this didn't just per chance all the little pieces fall in place. This is planned out. Zuckerberg, I really hate to say this about another human being, looks like something out of a Petri dish anyway. But when I look at him and I look at the whole Facebook phenomenon, which some people say stole from somebody in college, okay, whatever. So the kid starts up this Facebook, it's rolling, and then the companies that come in that buy it. This was all planned, and they kept Zuckerberg in there because honestly, and we have to go back and look at this decades back. This has been part of the planned media manipulation.
Thank you.
For years, for decades, okay? Because you look at, okay, who are the owners of Zuckerberg now, or of Facebook now? Mark Zuckerberg. The Vanguard Group Incorporated. And anyone who's that I say, please, please look them up. BlackRock Incorporated. FMR LLC. And T. Rowe Price and Associates. Now, these are all global asset groups. And just because I looked that up just now, I'm going to have to dig into them because I'm going to bet they are up to their eyeballs in Chinese food. I'm just betting that these
General
people.
Tso's chicken, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just betting that somehow when I start digging in here, it's going to be red flags, half moons, and stars, baby. I can see it now. Because look at Zuckerberg's wife. You're going to tell me all this per chance happened and that, and when you. When you look at Zuckerberg, you listen to Zuckerberg, okay? He's almost like your classic programmed Manchurian candidate. It's like he has a limited amount of things that he can say, and that's all. Anything outside of that just doesn't calculate.
That's right.
You know? Right. I mean, I watch him, and like I said, somebody from a Petri dish. He's like, he's your classic Manchurian candidate. And this Priscilla Chan, we should really start digging. And you're going to notice, though, when you look at Zuckerberg, you look at Chan and these different people, their pasts are becoming more and more elusive on the internet.
Thank you. Yes.
Even Gates. And we talked about this before. We are being digitally manipulated as to our history, as to the history of everything that's going on, everything that's culminated up to the point of 2021. They've gone back and they've canceled out what they don't want us to see. And you can challenge me on that, and I can sit down and actually give you instances of that. I know Google's in on it.
Yep.
For a fact, okay? All of your MSN-tied companies, anybody that's even associated with Microsoft is in on this.
Yep.
And this is just an observation. But it's an observation if you do a lot of research. And it's just even in your parameters where you're working and you're doing work on the internet, you'll go, wow, well, I was looking at this yesterday and I've gotten to the point that I have to do screenshots on everything because I kid you not, in 90 days, it won't be there.
That's very true.
If it went against the flow and somebody's going to say, well, where did you get that? Well, I can't anymore. I can't say, well, I read it on the internet. No, I have to have proof of it. You want to see most of my photo files in my computers are screenshots. Because I have to capture it, because when I go to look for it, it's going to be gone.
Absolutely. And I'm finding it more and more. Yep.
And we noticed that back even when we were doing the counterterrorism.
Yep.
You and I noticed that. Things were changing. And that's why we've always said, We need hard copies. Save books. Please don't burn books. Don't throw them in the garbage. Save them. Give them to your kids. Encourage them. Stick them in a closet. Get them read. Something. But look, around my house, there's a lot of books. There will always be a lot of books.
Thank you.
Because the only way for that book to go away is for you to physically take that book. But the cool part is, once it's been read, it can be passed on.
Yep.
But it was read, and it was read, and it was real. And what I'm seeing going on, we have been brought into an internet world for a reason, because we're being manipulated. They're rewriting history. It's just like these clowns that think if you take a statue, this disappears. You know, taking statues down from the Civil War is one of the most dumbass things I've ever seen. Okay.
Yep.
Because if your defense of such behavior was true, where, well, we don't, you know, it was a horrible time in our history, then those statues need to stay up so that every time we go by, we're reminded of what we don't want to do again.
There you go.
Okay. But if you make it go away and it never happened, gee, maybe I've got a great idea and we'll have a civil war. Oh, you're claiming there was one. I don't see any proof of one. I looked in Google. They don't seem to have a record of one. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
We were being manipulated. Man, we were being manipulated. This is so. So when we talk about the global cabal and the psyops that are going on, people, you ain't stuck your little tootsies in the water.
I appreciate you saying that.
And this has been scaring me. Doug and I have talked about this on a few different subjects. I even talked about it on the Patreon call.
Yep.
And I know I took some flack over it, but I'm sorry. I'm an analyst, and I know what I've seen. I've dealt with this government before, and I'm not going to get sucked into doing anything over party lines. I'm not doing it. I make my own decisions.
Well, yeah.
And that's the end of it.
I mean, party line doesn't really mean anything anymore, right? I mean.
Thank you. Thank you. My friend just hit it right on the head. There is no party line.
No, it's globalist.
There's right and there's wrong. That's that.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's different for everybody. It really is.
Well,
it's different for everybody.
It may be different for everyone, but I think from a biblical perspective, I think it's pretty clear there's one standard.
Right. Right. But at the same time, everybody's got their finite beliefs. It's just like when you look at the Protestant religion. You know what I'm saying? All based, this concept's the same, basic concept.
Yep.
Jesus died on the cross for your sins. There you go.
Right.
Okay. But they all have their little caveats. And that's really where we want to be, where we all believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that God has a new covenant with man. But I also want you to be aware of something, people. These globalists are very smart.
Oh, yeah.
And we talked about complacency in Christianity before, and I want you to think about this as we leave this show today. It's also very possible that your globalist said, a lot of these Christians believe that it is what it is, and they can't change it because it's prophecy. So why don't we let them think that it's Revelation time and this is just prophecy?
That bears repeating. You know, we can't change prophecy, which is true.
Right.
Go ahead.
Thank you. But I also 100% agree with my friend sitting right there. I'm not going to sit here on my knees and get my head cut off.
Right.
I won't do it. I'm sorry. I will proclaim Christ. Cut my head off. That's fine. You know what? It's going to be a fight.
Oh, yeah.
And a couple of y'all going with me.
Yeah.
Okay? We're traveling together. All right. But my point is, be careful of the mind players. Because the people that are manipulating us are good at, they've manipulated probably 70% of the world. That wasn't by accident.
And that's very true.
Stop and think about that.
Yeah.
And when you start putting it in that perspective, this gets even scarier.
And a lot of the globalists will cite, especially for Christians, will cite Roman 13s where you've got to obey authority. It's a godly mandate to, no. You've got to obey, or you should obey a righteous authority, righteous according to the biblical biblical scriptures, but not this, not the globalists. We're not to obey them.
And beware of the false righteousness.
Very good.
You really got to be careful there, because you got a lot of politicians out here that are quoting scripture that have no idea what they just quoted. Okay. And that's plain and simple. And they are speaking for Satan himself. Yeah, when Nancy Pelosi decides to quote scripture to me, something has really gone wrong in my world.
I was just going to say, you mentioned that, I'm thinking Nancy Pelosi. I mean, my gosh.
And isn't that bad that that's who jumped in there, you know?
Right away, yeah.
Oh, the first person. Yeah, I think before Biden gets booted out of office, let's just say that Trump doesn't get the thing, doesn't get walked back into the office. And even if he does, that could be a year or so down the road. I think they'll get rid of Harris first and try and secure Pelosi in a position before they move Biden out of office so she can step right in.
Well, you know,
that's something in the back of my mind's really been troubling me on that, because Harris is too quiet. And I honestly think that she's just simply a bookmark, just like Biden's a bookmark. That this was a ploy to get those two. Because honestly, in the election, I don't think Pelosi would have gotten any votes. Because even the left is, some people on the left have grown tired of her.
Right. And the down votes, by the way, on these election audits are subject to change as well. That and one of the down votes, well, it wouldn't be in the, but I mean, if they go back. But anyway, isn't it interesting? You're talking differently now than you were a couple of months ago. I shouldn't say differently. It's interesting when we talk about the audits, you're saying, well, maybe Trump might come back in somehow. I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but before it was
exactly. But we're still at that point, and where I always said Trump wasn't going to save us is, and I will still say that.
Yep.
I'll say that till he's gone or I'm gone, but it has to be accepted. Which means you've got to get the legal system in on this. And right now, our legal system is so fragmented. I can't see him making a decision on what color milk should be. I just don't see him. We are in a really dire mess, and people not understanding that in your FBI, in the Central Intelligence Agency, in all these different places, and I think a lot of this comes from people in the Central Intelligence Agency that served with Bush Sr. I really do. I see such evil in the background. Because when you look at a global cabal, you would have to have an intelligence network to run that global cabal, to feed that global cabal with information, that there's no other intelligence network in the world that stands up to the CIA as far as that goes.
Okay.
So I think there's elements of the CIA definitely involved in perpetuating this on humanity.
Okay. Which was my question to you, because you were involved in that world for quite a while. So time-wise, do you think it's under the old man, George Herbert Walker Bush, when things kind of went sideways? I mean, dramatically sideways?
Dramatically, yes. I think, and I'll say it here, I think when you go all the way back to the 60s and you look at the assassination of JFK.
Right.
Folks, and I'm not going to say it out loud because I'm going to assume my good friend Doug Hagman. What I want you to do is look at old pictures. Please just punch it in JFK White House, JFK Congress. All right. Look at pictures, and I want you to look at, don't look at JFK in the pictures. I want you to look at the other people in the pictures in the background. You're going to see some faces that you know. And they're the same faces that are pushing evil on us today. And the same faces that were pushing evil on us already gone and passed.
Yep.
Look in there. You're going to see guys like, geez, old man Bush. wow, Nancy Pelosi. That's just two names. That should be enough to get you interested.
Yeah.
I want you to go forget the search term you put in, I want you to look at the background and the pictures, and if it don't give you a sinking feeling in your stomach, I don't know what will. But when you're an analyst, you don't look at necessarily that piece of paper right there, that picture right in front of you that you went to look for. You look at the picture, and you look and you go, oh, wow. Oh, wow, I never saw that before.
That's right.
That's the one that'll make you sick in the pit of your stomach. And you'll start to understand this is not something that just happened 5 years ago. This didn't happen 10 years ago. This happened a half a century ago.
Amen to that.
Okay. And this has been building. And anybody that watches old Bush speeches, the thousand points of light, and we can all come under a new world order, a one world government. What were we thinking listening to that idiot?
September 11th, 1990 or 1991. I can't remember which. Thousand points of light speech.
Yeah. And I sit here and I'm like, boy, we've just been suckers for a long time. And what's sad is we're almost out of time. We should have been paying attention a lot more, a lot earlier.
It's very true.
So some things are going to have to be done. And like we've said before, it's fluid. I certainly haven't given up on this fight. I won't. The attacks on Christianity in the United States and Canada are seriously concerning. The acceptance of abortion in the United States and Canada are seriously. I know those two items right there. That's enough for me to go to war.
Yeah, amen to that.
That's it. That's simple. I don't need any more, and I could look God in the eye, and He would be pleased with me.
Yep. And that said,
I'm not saying we're going to war. I'm just telling you, you've certainly given me a reason if I chose to do so.
What he said. And I think that's very important because at this point, too, when you have the and here's what I think, among other things, here's what I think is going to be the tipping point. One of the tipping points is when you do this to children. Okay, in terms of unborn children, you know, you eliminate, you kill them, you murder them. But you're also dealing with something else now, and this is a poor segue, but I'm going to do it anyway. You've got a United States judge right now, a U.S. judge, upholding this jab mandate by Texas hospital system, marking the first federal ruling on whether vaccines or this Fauci jab can be forced on employees. Randy Taylor, what does that tell you?
That is so wrong. Yeah, let me tell you something. And you've never heard me on the show screaming about the shot one way or another.
Right.
I just listen. One thing that's going to be very clear, if I intend to travel internationally, I will have to have a shot. If I want to go see my family in Canada ever again, I'm going to have a shot. I want you to stop and think about that. Yeah. Sure sounds easy when you're camped out and somewhere in Oklahoma, and the extent of you've never even left your hometown. And you say, well, I'm not getting a shot. That's cool. I don't want you to get one. If you don't want one, don't get one. If you have to get one, you're going to have to get one. This is the scary part.
Well,
now should stop. Now stop and think about it. Now, mine is a particular circumstance because of my international connection.
You know, though.
Yeah.
You know, look.
I know it's a scary. I haven't done it, but it's a scary prospect.
Oh, excuse me. I would. I'm going to tell you this right now. This isn't. Where's this information here? There it is, right there. Just so you know, okay. The data released June 11th, 2021 lists nearly 6,000 deaths among 330,000 cases of injuries following the jabs. Okay. Think about those numbers. There are also another 5,884 life-threatening cases, 43 1,892 ER visits and 4,583 permanent disabilities and 597 hospitalizations. That's just a June love. People are going to die from this.
Oh, yeah. But that's, let me ask you, and a fair question is that is out of how many immunizations? How many shots?
True, millions. But
I don't know. I don't know. That's why this is once again. Everybody has to weigh their own decision.
But those numbers, I have to say this. This is a voluntary adverse reporting system. I'm just going to tell you. So the numbers are likely much higher. But also, we don't know the full extent of what the jab is going to produce. And I've got so much information that you haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. But okay, regardless of that, forget about individual situations.
Well, and like we were talking about before, what's unique about this shot is the fact that it's not unique. It's four or five different manufacturers and four or five different shots. The ingredients aren't the same. A couple of them have the virus in it. All don't. There's no uniformity here. The scary part, though, here's what scares me. What were we doing studying this in the first place? Why were we in a lab, funding a lab, playing around with, this is like playing around with the bubonic plague. What possible use? And if you were going to do it as, well, we're doing it to protect humanity, why would you go do it with the Chinese? They're the most likely to unleash this on humanity, which they did. Why were we there in the first place? That's the part that bothers me. Fauci should be in jail. He's sold out. He can't prove to me under any circumstances his intentions were good.
No, look, it never was. In the bottom line,
I don't care what he says. Yeah, the man is a liar. He should be in jail.
Fauci headlined a 2017 conference starring researchers central to Chinese Communist Party virus, number one, and subsequent cover-up, including EcoHealth Alliance President Peter Daszak and top Wuhan lab researcher, the Bat Lady Xi Zhengli. This is according to National Pulse. Okay, folks, understand this. Fauci, all I can say, three things. Rope, Fauci, lamppost, some assembly needed. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. And by the way, we're on the same page with notepads.
Oh, yeah, right on. I just noticed that.
Yeah. So, all right. Hey, we're out of time, my brother.
Just remember. Sometimes what's real obvious isn't obvious. The globalists are smart. They've manipulated billions of people. So just try to stay a step ahead of them. Please don't let party lines make your decisions. You make your decisions. You answer to God.
That's right. That's right.
Answer to God. You don't answer to man on this.
And don't worry, folks.
Praise Jesus.
He's not going to. Don't worry, folks. I know Randy Taylor, and Randy Taylor's not going to put himself in a position of death in order to cross the border. Trust me on that. I'm not going to say any more on that. All right, folks. Hey, Randy Taylor, thank you so much for being a big part of today's program. Love it.
Absolutely.
Man.
And thank you for having me on today, folks. I appreciate it. Thank you for supporting Mr. Hagman.
And
supporting this Hagman report is very important.
Yep.
There's a lot of research going on. We're off the next couple of days. Yes, I'm growing my hair long and I'm growing a beard. There's a reason for that.
All right, Kimo Sabe.
Have a great day.
God bless you, my friend.
Right on.
All right, folks, that'll do it for us tonight. May God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so very much for tuning in. I really appreciate that. Randy Taylor, too, appreciates it as well. Hey, still pray for Randy. He's still in the recovery phase. But I'll tell you what, still as deadly, still as effective, still as stealthy. You know, I'll tell you, you never see him coming. All right, folks, God bless each and every one of you. On behalf of Eric the Tech, Randy Taylor, Jackie, Lady the Studio Dog, and Theo, and, of course, my wife, Randy Taylor and his family, may God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.